This is the Chancellor's Program. At his home going in November 1997, Dr. Bob Jones Jr. left a legacy of lifelong ministry to students as Chancellor and former President of Bob Jones University. He also left a wealth of recorded sermons which we now present on the Chancellor's Program. Today we hear a message originally delivered in chapel on April 29, 1988. This message, titled Principles of Christian Separation, is based on scripture found in 2 John verses 9 through 11.
Now, I spoke to you the other day about the divisions, the division because of the person of our Lord, and the division because of His works, and the division in regard to His words, His sayings. Now, these divisions are as they should be. You can't preach Christ as He is in the scripture without having division. Some believe, some reject, some receive, some refuse. There's always division. The gospel is the most divisive thing in the world. You can't preach the gospel without making some people mad. That's the purpose of the gospel. The gospel isn't only preached that all men shall be saved. The gospel is preached that all men shall have an opportunity to be saved. And we're obligated to give all men the gospel. Then men choose Christ or they reject Christ. He's always been the great central figure in the great issue of the world. And then men are divided on the Word of God. Is it the Word of God? Isn't it the Word of God? Does God speak in this book? Did holy men of God speak as they were moved to the Holy Spirit? Is this a book of authority? Or is this just like other books? And then what is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did He come to teach us social service? Did He come to emphasize good works? Or did He come to offer salvation? He's offering Himself in that passage in John as the Savior of the world, the one who can give the water of life. You have to know fully that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh and that He came that men might have life. He came to die on a cross. That's the work of Christ. Everything else was incidental to that. God highly exalts Him, gives Him a name above every name, that at that name every knee shall bow. Why? Because He became obedient unto the cross. His meat was to do the will of the Father. And His Father's will was that He come to provide the sacrifice whereby men can be saved. Now, there are certain divisions taught on the part of Christians in the Bible. We should have had some emphasis on this. We should never take it for granted here that everybody understands these issues of ecclesiastical and personal separation. It's very important you know it, and I'm glad to give it to you as much as I can in the hour we have today of 25 minutes. Now, I hope you'll listen carefully. There are various kinds of separation mentioned in the Bible. A Christian is supposed to be separated from the world. That is to do with personal separation. I don't need to emphasize that. That's been emphasized constantly. You are to keep yourselves unspotted from the world. What is pure religion? Pure religion and clean and uncontaminated. As James puts it, pure religion and undefiled. Religion that's not soiled in the presence of God and the Father is this: to visit the widow and orphan in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, that doesn't mean that this is a religion to take you to heaven, but it means this. It means this is the evidence of a man who has had an experience when a man knows Christ. You see, James is always talking about pumping out, pouring out the life that's in you, showing your faith by your works. And the works that demonstrate faith are this: kindness, charitableness, looking after widows and orphans, but above all, keeping yourselves unspotted from the world. You can't become involved with something that's worldly in order to feed the widows and the orphans. For example, every year in your community, I dare say, as in this community, they have what they call a community chest or a cooperative giving fund where everybody's asked to give. The money goes to various organizations and various purposes. The idea is to prevent a lot of different drives coming through the year. So they say, let's put it all into one pot, and each organization will get a certain amount. And they come to you as a Christian, and they say, now we want you to give to this fund. In fact, they put inordinate pressures on sometimes. If you're in your business and you don't give to the fund because the company wants 100%, you're sort of ostracized and pressures brought to bear on you to give. But can you give to that kind of fund? Because much of that money will go to things that a Christian doesn't want to support. It'll go to an organization that teaches dancing and has bridge parties and bridge clubs. It'll go to organizations where they serve liquor and sell liquor. maybe do some charitable work. They look after people in need, but along with it, they violate the Scripture, the kind of thing you can't support. Listen, you're answerable to God for what you do with your money. If you put your money into a denominational program or into a civic program, into a charitable program that's contrary to Scripture, God holds you accountable for it. You must give in line with the teachings of the Word of God. Now, that's a simple example of keeping yourself unspotted from the world. You want to do good to man to show you're a Christian, but as you do that good, you don't compromise the truth of God's Word. You don't become involved with worldly methods and worldly organizations and those things which are enmity to God. So you have, first of all, this matter of personal separation which separates you from the world. Then as a Christian, you have to separate yourself from those who do not believe the Scripture and live according to the Scripture. Now let me stop here to make something very clear. This does not have to do with personal friendships and personal life. It has to do with cooperation in matters of religion. Now I have friends who are unsaved. Not a great many, because I don't move much in that crowd. But I have friends whom I try to win to Christ, whom I'm very much concerned about and to whom I witness. God doesn't mean you're not to have any contact with people who are unsaved. You have to, otherwise how are you going to reach them? That's not it. But you do not cooperate religiously with organizations that are in enmity to the Scripture, contrary to the Word of God. For example, I couldn't cooperate with the Catholic Church or the Mormons, even in a good program, because I would find myself unequally yoked together with an unbeliever, a man whose religion is contrary to Scripture. Now, you have no right to get yourself involved in that. And listen, this is where the pressure's brought today. The emphasis in the world today is, you must cooperate. Unity is the watchword of the devil in the world, and a lot of good people are repeating it. We've got to have one world. That's Satan's plan, to have one world that he can rule. It'll be the rule of Satan, of Antichrist. That's his plan. The Bible tells you it is. You have a forewarning of it. Now, you don't want to do anything to promote that plan. God says it's going to be, but you don't want to help it on. You see, it's wrong to help on anything that's wrong. You remember there was a king from Judah who went up to work with Ahab. And he worked with Ahab to help Ahab do something that was, on the surface, fairly good. Ahab died in the process of that battle. But when the king came back, he was met by a prophet who said, "Are you a friend of those who hate the Lord? Do you help on the work of the enemies of God? You can't afford to do that. You can't afford to promote anything, purely from the standpoint of good sense. If something is contrary to what you believe and what you hold dear, you can't help that thing to come in to attack what you believe." And that's the purpose of it. What they cannot destroy, they want to absorb. And Satan's purpose for this generation, as we get toward the end of the age, is absorbing all things into the body of his purpose. One world, a great world that bows to him. One religion. There's going to be a world religion. It's a combination of apostate Protestantism, where there's no birth of Christ, no new birth, Roman Catholicism, and all the religions of the world eventually will come in, all the religions that exist where Antichrist reigns. One world, one race. No man dares be independent. Independence is considered the greatest heresy a man can have today. No man, in the opinion of these worldly guys who are trying to promote a satanic program, no man, according to them, is a good patriot unless he'll go along with things in the country that he does not believe in. Listen. Your loyalty is to Christ. Your conviction should be centered in the Word. And any man that will cut his convictions, trim them, adapt them to suit the world's opinion today, that man is the worst kind of traitor. The Bible has a good deal to say about that. So there's this matter of ecclesiastical separation, but it goes further than that. There's the matter of separation from Christians who do not walk uprightly. There are many Christians today who are doing things we can't agree with. They may be Christian brethren. They may be on their way to heaven. But we can't walk with them because we don't agree with them. Their life is not in line with the Word of God. Now, let me say this also. There may be sometimes denominational differences or differences of interpretation of the Word of God where people can't agree. You don't need to separate on the basis of those things. If a man believes the Bible is God's Word, and if the man defends the Word of God, you can go along with him and you don't have to compromise your belief. That's not the point. But when a man denies the Word of God or disobeys the Word of God or insists upon trying to trap you into going along with him, he may be an apostate denomination. There are saved people. They're saved Roman Catholics. They're in the midst of something God tells them to get out of. But because they're in it, don't let them entice you into it. Because God commands you to stay out. So you walk in the light of the Word of God as it moves upon a conscience enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Now let me review those again. These are the bases of separation. It has nothing to do with personal friendships. I'm not talking about that. The Bible is not dealing with those on this basis. You are to separate yourself from that which is theologically wrong, that which is liberal, that which is apostate, that which is unbelieving. You are to separate yourself from the world, and you are to separate yourself from people who walk disorderly. Look at 2 John, verse 10 and 11, a little epistle of 2 John way over in the back of the Bible. Now, this epistle, let me explain it, is written to a wealthy woman. She had a house, she had an estate, she had servants, and these servants who were saved came to her house. There was a household church, and she, as the matron of the house, apparently a rich widow, responsible for these people, for the children, for the servants, and desiring to reach them religiously, was in a sense the head of the house church. She didn't try to be the bishop, she didn't try to preach, but this is the instruction as to what shall be done in regard to a local church. Now, let's look at verse 9 of the second epistle of John. Verse 9. Whoso transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, what is the doctrine of Christ? That he's the Son of God, that he's virgin born, that he died for men's sins, and that he rose again. That's basically the doctrine of Christ. If a man doesn't believe in those things and believe in them fully, he doesn't believe the Bible. And if he believes those things, he will believe the Bible, because his only knowledge of those things is from what the Bible tells him. And you don't pick and choose. You accept it or you reject the book. You can't choose, because the whole book is a unity. God has made it so. Now, if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now, what's John saying here? Remember, these are written, these words, under Holy Spirit inspiration by the Apostle of Love. This is not written by some man who's known for being narrow-minded and full of hate. This is written by the disciple whom Jesus loved, the one who loved Christ. He's a disciple whose emphasis is on love. Now, what does he say here? He says if some preacher comes along, or some man who wants to be a religious teacher, don't you let him in and let him speak to your church. He shouldn't be allowed there. You shut the door in his face, and you don't say, I'm sorry, we can't let you in because the program is full. You say, get out of here, you rascal, and you slam the door in his face. That's right. You don't regard him as a brother. You regard him as an enemy of Christ. And you don't say, I'm sorry, we can't use you, brother, but God bless you in your ministry. You don't say, God bless you, to a man who's preaching heresy and damning souls by denying the doctrine of Christ. He's got to believe what the Bible has to say about the Son of God. And believing what God has to say about the Son of God, you can accept him. If he denies that, don't let him in. No Christian ought to have anything good to say about a liberal preacher. You don't want to do anything to give people an idea that's good to listen to him. Those men you ought to absolutely cut off and separate yourself from. You wouldn't give him money for a program like that. All right, when you say God bless you, you're blaspheming God, because you're asking God to bless that which God forbids and which God condemns. So you become a partaker. Now let's go back to Romans, 16th chapter of Romans, verses 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by their good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. In other words, When men cause division contrary to the doctrine, that is, they try to make splits in the church because their emphasis is not a scriptural emphasis. When they are heretics in doctrine, they may claim to be believers. But when men cause division on the basis of a doctrine, now you are supposed to divide yourself on the basis of truth. But when men come in and try to make a division, that is, they try to split hairs. You know, we have some people here, maybe, who believe it's possible to lose your salvation. We have some people here, I think the majority, believe that if a man's once saved, he's always saved. Now, those are differences of interpretation of the Scripture. But we don't permit arguments about that on this campus, even on the part of good, sincere people, because those arguments will cause division among our students, among our university family. That's not wholesome. Division of this kind is not honoring to God. It's not pleasing to God. Now, when a man comes in and insists on introducing something divisive, that man is oftentimes introducing a heresy. He may not, but oftentimes the thing he wants to introduce will divide you, and it's heretical at the same time. Now, you ought to watch people like that. It says mark them. What does that mean? That means observe them, be on the lookout for them. And when you see them, you avoid them. You don't have anything to do with them. You say he may be a Christian brother. Well, he may be. Maybe not. Satan puts people in the church for that purpose sometimes, just to divide. But whatever he is, you don't have anything to do with him. So a man whose ministry is a divisive ministry among the brethren, not trying to separate Christians from unbelief, not that, but who makes a division according to the doctrine, that's the teaching of the Word of God, who comes along and tries to make division among God's people, you're not to have anything to do with that man. You are to avoid him. Now let's turn over to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Let's look at verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. That is the rule that Paul has set forth here. He speaks first of what he has tried to do. He says back up in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either already perfected, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Now he comes down here. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. In other words, if you think you've arrived, you don't change your pattern of life to conform to the world. You don't change your attitudes toward the Word of God just because you think you're now spiritual. You keep on. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You know, it's possible for a man to be a Christian, to serve God, and become successful. And when he becomes successful, he becomes enamored to the world. He thinks he has to compromise his scriptural position in order to please the world. When that man does that, he ceases to be a servant of Jesus Christ, but he becomes an enemy of the gospel, a poor example, a poor representative, a poor testimony to the power of God. In his life, there'll be nothing that'll bring other people to be saved. Now, if a man comes to that position, you'll leave him alone. Now, what is the unity? First of all, there's the unity in love. You say, you mean to divide ourselves from somebody that is a follower of some cult or some false religion or even some denomination, and not work with him? That's love? Yes, it is. Because biblical love is always love in the truth. Let me say that again. Biblical love is always love in the truth. If you love the truth, your love will be a spiritual and scriptural love. If you love the souls of men, so many people talk about soul winning, emphasizing soul winning, and then they violate all of these instructions. They line up with unbelievers, they cooperate with infidels, and they do it under the name of love of souls. My friend, if you love souls, you'll realize that you have to win souls in line with God's plan for soul winning. God has certain rules about soul winning. Those rules are, it must be done in line with the Scripture. It's done simply. Give a man the gospel, deal with him out of the Word of God. But how can a man who denies the Word of God by his life and by his alliances deal honestly in the Word of God? Do you know people who claim to be saved in these great religious crusades? You can hardly ever find one afterwards. Few here and there. But how many more would be won in local churches where the gospel was preached if those people could be brought under the sound of the gospel without the compromise and disobedience to the Scripture? You don't want to turn a convert over to an unbeliever. Billy Graham said to me once years ago, he said, "Don't you believe I get somebody saved in my preaching, that we can trust the Holy Spirit to see that they get to the right kind of church and get under the sound of good teaching?" I said, "Billy, can't we trust the Holy Spirit to get those people saved without listening to you?" Now, that's one's as logical as the other. Somebody's to give them the gospel. Somebody's to preach the gospel. And that gospel must be preached in purity and simplicity and in obedience to the Scripture. All right. Now, if I can say I'll just trust the Holy Spirit to put a man under good teaching when I'm sending his name and his address back to Catholic churches and Seventh-day Adventists and everybody else, is ridiculous. It's like saying, "Well, let the Holy Spirit save him without any effort on my part." God deigns to use men, gives them the great privilege of bringing men to a knowledge of Christ. Part of the Great Commission is also to instruct them. You're to teach them to observe as well as teach them to believe. You bring them to the cross, you give them the gospel, and then a part of that commission is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. That's just as important as preaching the gospel, to get them under the sound of Scripture where they'll know the Word of God, and God's command to you is as basic on one as on the other. Now, you don't line yourselves up with unbelief. God's will for you is that in the purity of life, you keep yourself unspotted from the world, but you also keep yourself unspotted from unbelief. You don't let yourself become involved with those who deny the Word of God. Now, unity of love, but the love is in the truth. You love the truth, you'll want to bring men under the sound of the truth. If you love the souls of men, you won't want to do something in your life, under the pretense of love even, that will hurt the cause of Christ or grieve your Savior. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll obey Him. Now, this matter of separation is not something you choose or reject. Either you obey Christ in it or you're disobeying Christ in it. Today, these new evangelicals take the attitude, you can do this or you cannot do it. It's just a matter of choice for you, whether you're going to separate yourself or whether you don't. My friend, it's a matter of obedience or disobedience. What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? "If you love me, you keep my commandments. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you to do. You are not a friend of Christ if sometimes you do what he tells you and other times you don't. You want to bring your life into conformity to the will of Christ." And this matter of separation is a matter of conformity to scriptural principles to please the Lord Jesus. It's as simple as that. You have no choice except a choice of whether to obey or disobey. You can't argue over whether or not you ought to or whether it's wise to, because God tells you to. You have no choice except the choice of obedience or disobedience. And it's strange to me how many people today are pretty good on most of the doctrines of Scripture, but they never consider this doctrine of separation. It never comes into their teaching. That's true of a great many of these men you hear on radio and television today. Some of these popular religious leaders who teach a great many things on the verge of heresy and on the verge of error, they never talk about this kind of separation because they themselves are in violation to the principles of separation. I saw recently where a man who's supposed to be a fundamental man, at least he used to be, doesn't have that reputation anymore, is lining himself up with some men who are open and avowed new evangelicals. That is, they question the Word of God, or they avowedly disobey the Word of God. Now, that man's in disobedience to the Scripture. How he can justify it, I don't know. But you're going to find that there'll be false priorities set up for you. Now, many people are disobedient to this principle of separation because of ignorance. They've never heard it taught. They don't study the Word of God. It's very plain here in the Scripture, is it not? That passage I read from Epistle of John, so clear, so explicit. Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. What fellowship hath light with darkness? What communion hath God with the devil? Now, all of these things are clear here, but people don't see them because they don't study and they're ignorant of the Word of God. You've got to keep yourself in this Word of God, or you're going to be ignorant of what God's will is. And then many of them don't go along. They are afraid of being called divisive. Listen, if you have fear of being anything except what pleases God, if you let anything turn you aside from that because you fear it, you're a mighty poor coward. Listen, what difference does it make what men say about you as long as God's approved with you? Well, some men say it's hard for business. I need to be in a liberal church because it has a big membership. It's the first church in town. It's much respected. And I'll get more business than I will if I go across the tracks and join that little independent fundamental church over there. And in many towns, the fundamental Bible churches are little independent churches. They're across the tracks sometimes. I'm kind of ashamed to be in a church like that. They meet in an old converted garage. Doesn't look very nice. And my friends come along. I can't take them over there to hear that man preach. Because they'd be kind of embarrassed by it. Don't be ashamed. The Lord Jesus was born in a stable and body was put in a borrowed tomb. Don't you ever be ashamed of doing the will of God because of what men shall say about you. But this fear keeps some men from taking a scriptural stand on these matters. And then sometimes it's because of the unconcern. They don't care whether they please God or not. Their lives are not scriptural in their direction. They want to be saved, they want to go to heaven, but they don't want to have any difficulties on the way. They don't want to be thought too religious. They don't want to be thought fanatical. You know, Bob Jones University is thought of as a fanatical institution. And all we do is preach the Scriptures, the clear Word of God. Now, when you come to Bob Jones University, you've already got the label. Now, go out and live up to the label. Take a stand that's biblical. Let's stand for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, help us to understand the principles set down in the Word of God. Help us to obey those principles, to walk by those principles. Give us the courage to be thought different if necessary. Help us never to seek to be a martyr, but help us, Lord, to have a martyr's heart, a willingness to go anywhere, to do anything, as long as it's in the command of God, and He will be glorified thereby. We pray it in His name. Amen.
You've heard a sermon by Dr. Bob Jones, Jr., who for many years before his homegoing served as Chancellor of Bob Jones University. This message, delivered April 29, 1988, was titled, Principles of Christian Separation. If you'd like to receive a free catalog of the late Dr. Jones' messages, write Audio Services, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614, or email audio@bju.edu. We invite you to listen each week at this time for the Chancellor's Program, sponsored by Bob Jones University.